What's up, everybody? This is Dan, and of course we have Joseph here. 4D, a lot of talk about, you know, we got Dallas Cowboys, we got the draft, and of course we apparently have doomsday defense, but
yes,
according to some, it isn't as doomsday as we all want it to be, but those some have horrible arguments. We'll get a little bit into that. But yeah, so last week, let's just kick it off with a bang. Last week, where has this offense been?
Man, it's been on the sideline. It's been in the bag. Like, it's been kept in the bag. People always, you know, the new saying is, oh, this person's in their bag. Well, we weren't going into our bag. It's been left in the bag for a few weeks. And
maybe Sam dropped the bag.
Yeah. I think it has a little bit to do with health, getting everybody right, getting everybody back and, you know, healthy and feeling good and moving together as a team and as a unit again, and just getting used to playing with each other. And I think it had a lot to do with, you know, I think the Cowboys might've got tired of the talk and them saying, okay, look, we've been playing concert. My opinion, I've voiced it here and on Twitter, is that the Cowboys have been playing very conservative on offense. They're not putting out their full force because they know that, especially the past three teams they played, really didn't have an offense to keep up with them, even if they're going very vanilla, which they did, and that those offenses weren't going to be able to score on their defenses. Mike McCarthy pretty much said it in the Giants game. Why didn't you go for a touchdown at the end of the half instead of just letting the clock wind out and kick a field goal? Well, we were confident the Giants weren't going to score more than 9 points. Like,
yeah,
there was no reason. Like, we weren't scared of their offense. So I don't think they were necessarily scared of the football team's offense this week. But I think they had a point to prove. And basically Mike McCarthy said at the press conference after the game, like, hey, it starts now. It begins now.
So one of the things that I did find interesting is usually games are the first 15 plays or so is scripted, yeah, right? Game plan installed early in the week. We talked about Amari talk. I said it on Twitter where, you know, Amari comes out late in the week and is like, well, I'm not getting target on third down and red zone. By then the game plan had already been installed. Yep. Like by that point, he had to have already known what was the concept or the way they were going to attack Washington. Right. So you look at that and then you look at the way they did it. They didn't know. If you also remember, they did not know they were going to win the division prior.
Yes.
Our NFC East prior to Sunday. Mm-hmm. So everything they did was to win that game.
Yes.
So how, you know, look, if you were holding this much back through a really rough stretch, there's other issues that we need to talk about, right? Like, why were you doing that in some of these games that you shouldn't have been doing that in? Whole different question. But, you know, you now face an Arizona team, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're coming up against an Arizona team. You're coming up against Philadelphia. You have the NFC East. There's a potential for a one or locking in the two seed, which is huge, right? Yeah. But why were we now, even if you were playing vanilla, you weren't giving us motion. Mm-hmm. You were giving us bad communication. Like, so how off of the playbook were you really in being vanilla that it was confusing your offensive players?
Yeah.
That's the question. Why were people so confused? You were seeing it. We talked about it with Kyle Yeomans. We've talked about it before. You're seeing routes being run where two wide receivers are within 3 to 5 yards of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw it over and over. Or you'd see Dak go to throw a ball and it'd be into a flat and the wide receiver would have cut left instead of cut right.
Yep.
And you saw it. Or you'd see Dak on a timing route throw to the outside and the receiver just wasn't there. There was some community, or he'd direct him, you know, he'd point his finger to go one way to try to get him to the sideline and the receiver would stop. So what was why do you think that happened? Why do you think, you know, here we are playing a vanilla offense and yet there's communication breakdowns and issues in the simplest of things?
Yeah, it's I think it's a combination of a lot of things, to tell you the truth. It's not just one thing in particular, because I think the Denver game, they just got beat. I don't want to say, they just got beat. They just didn't perform, and Denver beat them up. Then against the other two losses that came since after that to KC and then the Vegas is KC, they were really banged up. Vegas, they were really banged up, but they still played better in Vegas than they did in KC, and they played better in Vegas offensively than they did the last three games prior to this last game. So they just didn't play well defensively. So I think a lot of the games that we lost, like talking like the KC, the Denver, the KC, the Vegas games, there was a lot to do with, players were out on offense. They weren't, running. I think more didn't feel comfortable running the same concepts and everything that he normally did in the beginning of the year with these backup guys. So I think it went a lot. And then we also knew they were in heavy COVID protocols. They were doing virtual meetings. They weren't out on the field practicing together. So a lot went into it. And then you get into the three game stretch of, players came back and you think, okay, this offense is going to start rolling again. Players are coming back. And the Saints, the Redskins, oh, geez, man, the football team, and then the Giants. And then it didn't click. And then this is what you're talking about. Like, okay, what's going on? And I think it was a combination of things of getting the players back healthy. They hadn't been practicing a lot together. They hadn't been playing a lot together. And then the O-line was being shuffled constantly. And I think that they decided to go really conservative, not only to just hide what they want to do later on in the season to wrap up the division, wrap up seeding, and go into the playoffs and have some stuff to go into the playoffs. But I think they also were conservative in the fact that we're getting back into it. We got to revamp everything, and we want to get our players back. We want to get our line settled. Dak obviously was not comfortable with the line with McGovern in there. They weren't doing certain things. They weren't able to pull McGovern. We talked about that with Kyle Yeomans. They weren't able to pull McGovern in the running game like they do with Connor Williams because he doesn't have that ability. So I think they limited the playbook to make him feel comfortable with what they had there, and it really didn't work well at all. Thankfully, the defense was able to hold them up and keep them. And I think they felt confident in, hey, these teams aren't going to score on our defense. We can tinker with this. We can get everybody back. We can get everybody up to speed and on the same page again. And once we do that, it'll give us time. It'll allow us to get into our full playbook again once everybody's back up to speed. Because Amari Cooper, whether people want to admit it or not, he was not healthy for a few weeks, even after he came back from COVID. He does his weekly radio show with 105.3. You could hear him coughing for the last couple of weeks. So he's now starting to get more healthy. He's now sounded starting to look better. He looked great in this last game. So did Zeke, who we know who's had a knee injury. He's saying he's about 100% now. So I think it was getting players healthy, getting them back to playing together, and just going really conservative and really vanilla until all this kind of meshed again.
Yeah, it was just so weird.
It was.
I don't agree.
I don't agree with it. This is just like the way I'm seeing it, and I just think there's too much evidence pointing to that fact. There's a lot of evidence pointing to that fact. So, I didn't agree with it. I talked about it before. I don't agree ever going conservative. I'm a very aggressive, offensively aggressive mindset. So it was annoying. It was concerning. But I don't think we're going back that way. I think
We'll
this
find
last
out
game
this
is
week.
more. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll find out this week, right? Because this will be a big game for that.
Very much so.
Because I don't know what the la I don't know if the last week is going to matter, right? We don't know what that looks like yet.
Yeah.
You're chasing Green Bay. If Green Bay loses this week, next week matters a heck of a lot more than if Green Bay wins this week,
Yes.
right? It just does. Looking at it. But man, the offense was clicking. It was humming. It was doing what it needed to do. People are always talking about the run game, run game, run game. The threat of the run game was there. It wasn't so much that they were breaking these massive runs,
No.
but it was the fact that, hey, they were gaining 5 yards, a 4 yard, a 6 yard. And so you had to respect the fact that there was a potential they could get the ball into the running back's hands, right? And so it opened some things up. And look, Washington is banged up. They have a lot of people just out. You know, we saw a fight where one of their guys ended up getting benched, essentially. They're a mess. So, you know, take it. I wrote an article this week as like, do it again, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm of the ilk. Like you can, if you can do it once, great. If you can do it twice, okay, now we're starting to cook with fire. If you can do it three or four times in a row, now you're moving, right? Mm-hmm. Like it isn't a one-off thing. It wasn't chance. It wasn't, you were playing a bad team. It was, this is who you are. Right. And so I'm excited to see how they play this week coming up. It's a big game. It's a huge game. But I'm excited to see how it goes. And then, you know, on the flip, the defense came out, did its thing, you know, got the interceptions, at which, look, if you haven't seen Tank's interception, like go back and watch that. The foot motion, the foot movement and mechanics that he did to get to that ball, along with the tip, the catch, the go, like, but that footwork to get him in position to be able to do what he did was absolutely incredible. Just great reaction time by him. Mm-hmm. Just great reaction time. So, you know, you saw that. Look, Boss Man Fat did really well. If you haven't seen it, go follow Reed. Reed has a fantastic thread on Twitter. Reed D. Hansen, just a fantastic thread on Boss Man Fat's coverage.
Wrote a great article on it too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Go find it on Sport DFW. It is really well done. But it does go into kind of where we are with him a little bit, right? Like by watching it and look, again, you're playing Washington, who has Scary Terry and a bunch of dudes. Right. So I'm going to take it with a little bit of grain of salt. You're playing, you know, Heinicke, and you're playing Allen, and you're not playing, you know, a Rodgers. You're not playing, you know, even a Kyler. Like you're kind of playing the bottom of the barrel here. So I do want to say there's a lot of hope into it, and he played really good, solid coverage.
Yeah.
I want to see him do it again. Like just give it to me again. But I think he warranted more snaps. So what do you think on that?
Oh, I 100% agree with you. It's difficult because you look at what's in front of him right now. And you know, we've both been critical of Jordan Lewis and Anthony Brown in the past, but they've both really played a solid football this year. They've both really earned their spots and have played really well. But I think Joseph came out and he got the opportunity to start, and he made the most of his opportunity. I mean, he could have picked off that. If he would have made that pick, it would have been better, but still he had a great game, played solid in the run game. You know, he showed out, and I think he did earn some snaps, but the question is, where do those snaps come from? You know, and I don't mind spelling Anthony Brown or Jordan Lewis every once in a while, a series or two in the game, to let Joseph get some snaps. And if you can do either one of them, because if you do Anthony Brown, then Joseph can come in and play it. Or if you do Jordan Lewis, then Anthony Brown can move into the slot, where is actually his best position.
Yeah, he's fantastic in the slot.
Yeah, actually. He is. It's his best position. So like, if you want to spell either one of them, you can do it with Calvin Joseph. And even if you go dime and you go four cornerbacks, you know, you're able to do, you know, keep Lewis inside, move Anthony Brown inside, and have Diggs and Joseph on the outside. So I definitely think he has earned the right to get some more playing time, but I don't think, some people are calling for him to start, and I don't think you could just bench Anthony Brown and everything he's done this year off of one game. So I think he warrants more snaps. Absolutely.
The thing is people love the interceptions, right? And so let's talk about that, right? Because you know, it's going to lead into our next piece of conversation. You know, people love the interceptions. They love the, you know, the highlight reel. And look, Anthony Brown does not get a lot of interceptions. He just does not.
Yeah.
But he is tight in coverage. He forces teams sometimes to not look his way just because he's tight in coverage. He's shifty. He moves, you know, laterally well. He can keep up the slot guys well. Like he's a solid corner. But you know, people love the interceptions. It's why, you know, Jordan Lewis is a fan favorite, right? Not like, not because Jordan Lewis is, you know, this amazing, you know, cornerback. It's because he's intercepted some passes and people really like that.
Well, he was, it was because he was the only one intercepting it when we had like Byron Jones, right, and Chidobe Awuzie, who neither one of those guys intercept passes.
Right. Some of that was, a lot of that was coaching, but
yes,
you know, it was, you know, here we are now. That's the piece, right? So here we are. So, you know, when you go and look at, like, here we go, the PFF stuff that's going on, right? And they're knocking Diggs for giving up yardage. Look, it's ridiculous. We've critiqued PFF many times on the way they do the grades, right? Mm-hmm. And what you're finding out now is there's a lot of subjectivity to their grades.
So much.
Yeah. Right. And people wanted to rely on these things, you know, and for those who don't know what we're talking about. So PFF came out and they've have Diggs really, really low in the rankings, right? They do not have a good grade on him. It's very average at best. Mm-hmm. Even with all the interceptions, they're like, well, he gets targeted more. Okay. Well, before the show, Joseph pointed out that he only has 10 more targets than
Jalen Ramsey,
right? So is he really, teams are targeting him more? It's just 10 more targets, right? Two more, yeah, than, you know, other people. So it's that's not it, right? And so we're seeing this evolution. I think there's also an evolution in the way people view cornerbacks. You know, and Trevon Diggs has been absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he has gotten the interceptions, he made big plays, he stepped up in big times. I mean, Scary Terry wasn't scary at all, right?
Shut down for two games basically. And my issue is that for whatever reason, I don't know why, people have decided that yards against is the most important stat. And I'm like, you couldn't find a least important stat than yards.
Yeah, if anything, like, yards per catch, maybe, right? Maybe. Or air yards per catch or something like that, because now you're seeing a little bit more of, but yards, dude, you have, again, we've talked about it. If he just happens to be the closest guy in the area, mm-hmm, and that guy catches the ball and runs 50 yards and gets caught, that goes 50 yards onto his total.
Well, and
it's a terrible way to judge.
It's a super, and it's also a super subjective way that they assign yards.
Yes.
Because, for example, the guy who wrote it, Sam Munson, he was trying to defend their grade. He wrote an article recently. Basically, the whole purpose of the article is, hey, we have to defend our grade on him because everybody knows that it's not a good grade. And so an issue that he has is he's trying to point out these times that he's been beat. And they go back to the Patriots game. Everybody, that big play of the Patriots game in the fourth quarter where the Kendrick Bourne gets the big catch and takes it in for the end zone. But Diggs was going for the ball. KZ's coming at him. He sees KZ. He lays off. KZ whiffs. Yep. Bourne gets a touchdown. And yep. KZ basically said, oh, that was my fault. I caused him, Diggs, to hold up. Like, that's on me. But no, PFF, oh, no, we're getting every single yard and the touchdown to Diggs. Super subjective. And then he mentions in the article, specifically last week, the dynamic, he gets the interception. The very next drive, Dynami Brown gets a like 44-yard reception with Diggs in coverage. However, go back and watch the play. That's KZ again. KZ undercuts the receiver and Diggs, forces Diggs to go around and over the top of of Brown. Brown makes the cover. Jumps up, makes a big catch with KZ underneath him. KZ's underneath him and undercut everything. So why is that on Diggs? But of course, PFF, oh, those 44 yards all go to Diggs. So they're super subjective on who they're assigning yards to. And it just doesn't make sense. I'm not saying that Diggs doesn't give up yards. He does. I'm not saying that Diggs hasn't gave up touchdowns. He has. Like, we know this, like every cornerback does. But when your whole grading system is like, oh yeah, he makes a lot of turnovers and he leads the league in passes defended, but you know, oh, he's one of the tops in passer rating against. Oh, he's number one in EPA, but he gives up a lot of yards, so he's not very good. There's something wrong with your grade.
Yeah. So looking at his advanced stats, right? And just, I'm going to compare him to Jalen Ramsey, who most people are like, he's one of the best corners in the league, right?
Yep.
Okay. So Ramsey has played one less game. Mm-hmm. Okay. One less game. And he has, I'm using PFR just for anybody reference. So if you go look up the stuff, it's PFR. He has exactly 13 more targets. Okay. So you figure maybe seven targets, six extra targets, right? The extra game, give or take. 52 completions on that. While Ramsey, with one less game, has 51 completions for a 59.3% completion against to Diggs, who has a 52.5.
Yeah.
So he's allowing less catches, right? Yes, there's more yards per completion. Some of that are the big plays. I get it.
Some of that's right? the scheme.
Some of that's the scheme. You know, look, but when you start running down, his like DADOT is a 10. Like that's pretty solid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Average, it's depth of target, right? It's only a 10-yard average depth of target. Last year, Ramsey up until this year had his best year at 10.5. And he was considered, what, of all pro last year.
Lockdown, yeah.
Right? Absolute all pro. So if all you're using are your yardages, well, you're not looking at the complete picture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a problem. Look, PFF, great place to start for stuff. It gives you a general idea of where things stand. Their ratings, especially their linemen, their offensive linemen, they're pretty okay with the offensive linemen. There's some stuff that they're pretty good at. But there is subjectivity to their grading. And they themselves need to start looking at in the mirror to say, we are not the end-all be-all.
Yeah. And another thing, just I really have issues with their running back grades, their quarterback grades, and their cornerback and quarterback. But like another thing that they've tried to say is the separation. They grade negatively for more separation. Even if you're not, you don't get the ball that way. If you gave up a lot of separation, they're going to grade you badly because they claim that's their claim to fame is they grade every play, no matter if you're involved or not, they're still grading you. So the separation, well, that's going to negatively impact cornerbacks like Trayvon Diggs. And it would, and here's a shocker. It would negatively impact the grade of Deion Sanders. Why? Because they play a trail technique and they bait quarterbacks. They want to give the illusion. Diggs wants to give the illusion that, hey, this guy has me beat.
Yeah, this, you can make this throw.
You can make this throw. And you know what? They can. Because if they make a perfect throw, you can beat him because he's purposely putting himself out of position a little bit. Because Diggs is counting on you not to make that perfect throw, which most of the time quarterbacks don't make that. I don't care what quarterback you are. Most of the time, you're not making the absolute perfect throw.
Unless, of course, you're against Anthony Brown for some ungodly reason.
Yes, right. So, like, Diggs is basically taking that risk of you're not going to make that perfect throw. I'm going to put myself a little bit out of position and bait you into throwing it to there because then I'm going to go get that ball.
Right.
Because I'm better than the receiver at getting that ball. And that's what Diggs is doing. And it's worked out really good. Now, sometimes he gets beat. It happens. You know, sometimes the quarterback makes the perfect throw or the wide receiver makes an amazing play. Like that's going to happen, but you're going to get negatively impacted. And Deion Sanders did that. He got beat sometimes because you take that risk when you play the trail and you try to bait quarterbacks.
Yeah. But, that boom bust thing.
Egg and boom bust. But it's not so much that it's just like, oh, he's a boom bust player where, you know, it's either he's making a play, he's getting an interception or he's getting beat. That's not true. Even though he does intercept the pass every 8 targets.
So interestingly, what I would love to see also be incorporated is there's no adjustment for scheme, right?
Yeah, like none.
Like there's no adjustment for scheme. And I would love for them to grade some of that too, potentially like coach, like game planning, right? Like game, like how you call a game, a coach's ability to call a game. And so you can maybe start seeing an even better picture because think about Kellen Moore these last couple of weeks. Through the last, since the Denver game up until this last Washington game,
mm-hmm.
you would have probably been graded low because there was no pre-snap motion. There was no movement. There was no anything, right? Like it mm-hmm. was super vanilla. Well, you come into this game and see this, well, that changes the grade. Yep. Same on defense, right? There is a, the way teams are currently playing us, for instance, they are putting a really heavy umbrella technique essentially on the Cowboys, right? Mm-hmm. Where you're seeing, you know, quarters or a cover two, or a three man deep, right? Like you're seeing this, and what they're trying to do is not get beat over the top.
Yep.
Well, what happens is stuff over the middle can be open. And we saw the Cowboys finally attack that spot. That's what Amari was talking about with these cover two beat busters, right? It's attack that middle, that softer middle, and let them do the work to get you extra yardage, right? Hit the seam, split them out, you know, force the safety to shade to the outside, which allows, you know, CeeDee Lamb in the slot to kind of fill that spot where the safety was, hoping to get there before the other safety rotates over or the shell moves or however they decide to move it, right? So as we're talking about Trevon Diggs and the grades and this stuff, I think if PFF wants to be a little more realistic is to say, listen, we do not grade based on scheme, or start grading on scheme. Mm-hmm. Which is really hard. I get it. But my gosh, like you can't come out here and just make these blanket statements and then come back and say, our viewpoint is this when we watch the film. Okay. To Joseph's point, my viewpoint is he's baiting a throw. You're not grading him on baiting the throw. Mm-hmm. Why are you not? Because maybe that's the scheme. Maybe that's the technique. Yep. You're not grading it. So don't come out and say we're the end all be all when there's obviously other pieces to the story that you're not answering.
Yeah. They don't really grade on like the situation of the game either. The Cowboys currently as a team, they have the second best point differential at 100 plus 150.
Yep.
So obviously they're leading a lot. And by big margins. And so you've got to take that into account on why Diggs is one of the top, I think he's number six most targeted cornerback, and Anthony Brown is the most targeted quarterback. So you have your two starting cornerbacks are the first and the sixth most targeted. Why? Well, because the Cowboys are leading a lot. And so teams are having to throw it against them. So they're obviously getting targeted more. And then that's why I appreciate something like EPA, or EPA stands for expected points added, because it basically means it's taking the value, because yards, not all yards are the same value. So a 5-yard gain on 3rd and 2 has a much, much higher value than a 5-yard gain on 3rd and 15. Mm-hmm. One leads to a first down, one leads to a punt. So obviously the expected points added that you just added to that your team are higher on the 5 yards on a 3rd and 2. So you look at stuff like that, and hey, Diggs is number one in that because he takes away points from teams. He negatively impacts their points that they're going to add to the team. So that's why it's so much. That's why you can't just look at a total number of, oh, he's given up X amount of yards. Well, yeah. Why? What is the yards? Like, what are all those yards? Were those yards, you know, in garbage time where he gave up this, or were those yards on a 3rd and 15 where he gave up 11 yards on a 3rd and 15 because he was playing off technique because all he had to do was not give up 15 yards. You know, like there's so much. That's why I go after these people, because just saying, oh, he's given up this many yards, it's a really bad stat, in my opinion, to look at.
No, it really is. It's always been a bad stat, but it just amazes me that they decide to be so steadfast in their defense of it.
Yeah, and it's like tackles that we go after, Dan. It's like, oh, this person has a bunch of tackles. Yeah, but you know, oh, he had 10 tackles in a game, but 8 of them were after a guy. The running backs all averaged over 6 yards a carry. So it doesn't matter that he had 10 tackles, because they were giving 6 yards a carry to the running backs. That means he was tackling 6 yards down the field. Who cares? He didn't have a good game.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the whole Jalen Smith thing. And
Well, it's everybody. You look at the leading tackles in the year and the top 10 leading tacklers in the year. Most of them are on really bad defenses.
Oh, terrible. Yeah. No, it's again, to our point, it's the defensive line helping create the gaps, and we saw it for years.
And when you can't stop an offense, you get more opportunities to tackle them because they have longer drives.
So speaking of that, we're about to play an offense that can potentially explode when it wants to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here we are, we're fighting for a number one seed, and you know, we're about to face a Cardinals team with a good running game, right? Like they have a good running game. You know, you have Kyler, of course, right? Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I think everybody knows that's kind of the big one.
Yeah.
You know, but then, you know, if you're going to look at this team, if you're spying him, be careful of if he's playing James Conner.
From what I'm hearing is James Conner's doubtful. I know that's not an official designation anymore, but it's very unlikely that James Conner plays. He didn't play last week and he hasn't practiced all week.
Correct. But again, it could happen, right? And you can't when you game plan like this, if there's a guy on the like maybe he will, maybe he won't, you have to at least account for him. I mean, they still have Chase Edmonds who's probably gonna play. Right.
I think Chase Edmonds is more dangerous because I think he complements Murray so good. If you look at last game, he ran very well and he was a safety valve for Kyler Murray out of the backfield a lot.
Yep. And then you got, you know, an offense with Zach Ertz in it. You know, I mean, another safety valve. So like this is going to be a test when we're looking at this offense. Now, look, Arizona is banged up, right? Zach Allen's out. Buda Baker's probably not playing. He's limited. He may or may not play.
Yeah.
You have Beecham is out. Harris, Hudson, Rondell Moore, Jordan Phillips, Marco Wilson.
And DJ Humphreys he was just put on COVID today and he's not on the flight. He's not getting on the flight to Dallas. Yeah.
And basically Dallas has Quentin Bohanna out. Like
we're healthy.
We're pretty healthy. But you're going to see this is that team. This is the game we all pointed to way earlier when we said that's going to be an important game somehow.
Mm-hmm.
If the Cowboys were going to stay healthy and be where we thought they were going to be by this point in the season, which so far they have been, this was the game we were like, this game will be important for playoffs. We all knew that.
Yes.
And so you know, here we are coming into this game, relatively healthy. They are a little banged up. They're reeling a little bit. Like, let's just be honest. The Cardinals are reeling a little bit. But look, you know, Zaven Collins is going to be playing this game, potentially.
Yeah.
You know, like, they got some guys that are young, athletic, especially on their defense, you know, and prove it to me. Again, show me you can do it two games in a row. So, you know, before we get to really breaking down this game, let me have a little fun with you.
Okay.
All right. Let me have a little fun with you. All right. I'm going to say stock up or stock down.
Okay.
All right. Going into the Cardinals game. Okay. All right. You ready?
Yep.
All right. Left guard position. Is that a stock up or a stock down right now?
Stock up.
Okay. Center.
Can you go push?
You can push. That's fine. Okay. Safety.
Stock up. We're getting Malik Hooker back. So Donovan Wilson came back last game and played really well and his opportunities, stock up for me.
Okay. So now I'm going to go a little more specific on this one, linebacker depth. Now don't forget Bernard is out.
Mm-hmm.
You just brought in, I don't even know Bold or whatever his name is.
Yeah. I forget what his name was.
And you're bringing this in. Linebacker depth.
Oh, stock down. As well as our defense has played. Micah Parsons has played great. LV has been up and down still. He'll have a good game. He'll have an okay game. He'll have a good game. You know, he's back and forth. Keonan, as well as we played, like, people are like, oh, man, everybody played great against Arizona. No. I mean, against the football team, no. Keonan Neal was awful. Mm-hmm. Like, Keonan Neal has been really bad. And there's just nobody to replace him right now.
No.
Like, you're not going to put Bernard in there. You're not going to put Luke Gifford in there. You know, we have nobody. Cox is on IR. We have nobody to replace him. I honestly think that if Jabril Cox was healthy, he'd be a starting linebacker right now. Yep. That's my honest opinion, because Neal has been really bad. So I'm going to go stock down for the linebacker depth, definitely.
Depth. Now, we're not talking just Micah and all that. We're talking the depth here.
Yeah.
Because I think we all know what we get out of. At least, look, LVE, while he's had the okay game, good game, like, he had one really bad game, but he's actually been pretty solid consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Not the role that everybody – so everybody wants to look at LVE and be like, well, look what Parsons is doing. He's not Parsons.
Yeah,
he's not asked to do the same thing.
No.
He is asked to do the old style, find the gap, hit the gap, close that door, right? Like, that's what he's being asked to do. He's
more of a traditional – C-ball, get gone.
Yeah, he's more of a traditional middle linebacker at this point than anything. Which is fine. I'm totally fine with it. But understand, when you're looking at him, don't compare him to Parsons, who is getting moved around to defensive end, defensive tackle, linebacker, throwing out in coverage. Like, he's not being asked to do the same
thing. Dropping into three deep zone. Like, he dropped into three deep zone last week, and like, Heinicke had no idea what to do with the ball.
He was so confused. He was like, wait, this shouldn't. But he's just not being asked to do the same things, right? So, but after that, you're right. What do you have? Cox is out.
Mm-hmm.
Now Bernard is out. And Bernard, look, Bernard in his limited snaps has been a fairly solid depth piece. Mm-hmm. It's not like he's been some, you know, warranted to be the starter.
Yeah.
But I don't feel so bad with him on the field as a replacement for a couple snaps. Like, I don't look at it and go, ooh, now we're in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. Because just there's not a – like, this is how bad Neal has been. There's not a huge step down from Neal to them. Mm-mm. And there was I'll have to find it and I'll post it on Twitter. I'll tag you, Dan. But there's a play where there's some traffic and Neal kind of gets turned around and he's looking around for the ball and it's behind him.
Yeah.
And like, a player like points and he goes like turn, and it was just like, oh my goodness. Like, he was completely lost and had no idea what was going on at the moment. And I was like, oh my goodness, man.
Okay, so let's continue the stock up, stock down real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Kellen Moore.
Stock up.
You're giving it to him after one game. Stock up.
Stock up. Okay. I could be wrong, and I could be a fool. Some people have already called me a fool. Some people have told me it's a terrible take. But I honestly believe that Kellen Moore was going conservative and going vanilla on purpose. For whatever reason, maybe it was because he just wanted to hide things. Maybe it was because he didn't feel comfortable with the personnel they had to play at that time or with the way they were playing. And he didn't feel comfortable with Amari not being all the way back and Zeke not being all the way back. Whatever the reason, I honestly think he was purposely keeping it in the bag. And I just don't think a guy with an elite quarterback like Dak and being one of the top offenses ever since he took over play calling for multiple years, just for all of a sudden for like a 3 to 4 week period, just forgot how to call plays and didn't know what how to, like, it's everybody's like, oh, he doesn't know how to do, he doesn't know how to call plays against cover two. Like, I don't believe that a guy who's this smart and has been this successful all of a sudden doesn't know what to do against cover two. And then he has a head coach who's a really good play caller in his own right, who's just sitting there like, I don't know. You're going to have to figure it out on your own. I don't know what to do. And they just, nobody in that room knew what to do against cover two. Like, it's just hard to believe for me. So I might be a fool. I might be wrong, but I believe that Kellen Moore was holding it with being very conservative. And I think they're ready to go now. And so I'm going to stock up.
Okay. So Mike McCarthy, We see the clock management stuff, but we've also seen how this offense has come. And look, this team is a unit. Like, regardless of the outcome, this team is a, I would say, a better overall unit, cohesive unit, than we have seen prior to the McCarthy era.
Yeah, I'm going to go stock up on McCarthy. He has continually gradually moved up in my books throughout the year. I liked the hire in the first place. And then last year, you know, was an unfortunate year for everybody with Dak going down and multiple injuries. So I've just been, the way he has built this team, the way he's built his confidence, and he has worked with Dak, and Dak has bought in. And with Dak buying in, everybody else on the team has bought in. And you look at this and just look at the way they're approaching the game, and they're approaching weekend, and they're approaching the holidays. They're asking, "Oh, what are you guys doing?" And what is Dak's response today? Dak's response was, and Schultz too, like, "We're not going to do anything. We're going to stay in. We're going to stay safe, and we're going to get ready to play football. Nope, we're not going partying. We're not celebrating. We're staying in. We're staying safe. We're not exposing ourselves to potential COVID and not being able to play in the playoffs and hurting our team." And Dak said, "Look, I'm going to have to tell the young guys the same thing on Friday. Like, be careful. We're not doing this. You know, we're not, you're not going out on Saturday, Friday and Saturday night and partying and getting COVID on Sunday morning. And now you can't play in the game," you know? So like that has, and I mean, that has been brought in, that atmosphere has been brought in by McCarthy. Cause I don't think you ever had that with Jason Garrett.
Yeah. And I don't think he had his group and he had people that liked him. And look, he was a nice guy. A lot of people liked him. Right. Like, but there was that line that we always heard that if you weren't a Garrett guy, like he'd find ways to kind of like alienate you a little bit. So I don't know. But moving on, I'll leave Garrett alone because I could rail on Garrett for a full hour myself. But Dan Quinn. Is he up? Is he a push because he's been performing this way?
I'm going up, man. Like, this defense seems to get better and better each week. Like, honestly, like, you think, oh, man, this, we're topped out. We're topped out. And then they put on a performance like they did last week, and you're like, man, are they topped out? Jeez, they didn't even have Hooker last week. You know, they didn't have Jordan Lewis last week. You know, they're getting more players, but they didn't have Tristan Hill last week. Like, they're getting more players back. They're getting more starters back. Like, it's this, the way he has this defense playing. Let me tell you how well this defense is playing and how confident this defense is playing. This is the wildest thing to me. And it's been talked about. It got talked about during the game last week. You saw it on the sides of the sounds of the sideline when the players were arguing. The defense is playing so well and so confidently that they literally bet the offense that they will get more turnovers than the offense will score touchdowns.
Yeah, two or three?
The number one scoring offense in the entire league. They are saying, we're going to get more turnovers than you will touchdowns. Like, that's how good and how confident this defense is, and they're performing because they're keeping up.
Yeah, what are they, two or three within? Yeah, they're two or three right now.
I think they're two down, I think, yeah.
Yeah. I know it's like it keeps fluctuating, and I've been tracking it, but not really actually tracking it. I've been like following the story.
Yeah.
All right, and then the last one, and this one's interesting. Bones Fossil.
Man. This is hard because I love Bones Fossil. I love his aggressiveness. I love how this special teams unit is playing. They're blocking punts like crazy. I need them. I need a field goal block now and a punt return touchdown. That's what we need. My only issue with Bones right now is his unwavering confidence and reliance in Greg Zuerlein. It's a little like Greg Zuerlein makes the big kicks when he has to at the end of the game, when the game's on the line, he's making that kick. But then again, you're like, oh, you're missing extra points and kicks in the beginning of the game, which affect the end of the game. Like, if you're missing points in the beginning of the game, you know, it has an impact on the entire game. So I'm just worried. I'm kind of worried about Zuerlein, but I'm also like, every kicker across the league is really bad right now. Every kicker is missing kicks all over the place. So is it that big of a deal? I don't know. But if I had to push come to shove, I would say up, just because of how well the other units outside of Zuerlein, there might be the best special teams unit in the league. Like, they've been unbelievably impressive with their punt blocks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. So it's not just the punt blocks, right? So they've also done really well to protect their punter.
Yep.
And their,
and their punter's amazing.
And their punter is nailing some coffin corners.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know what that is, it's inside the 20, the ball dies or stops or goes out of bounds somewhere within the 20 to the goal line.
Yeah.
It's called a coffin corner. Some people mark it as the 10. I think it's actually the red zone area. It's 20 and in, mm-hmm. because then you've already set them back far enough. It's a long drive, essentially.
Yeah.
But coffin corner, it's called, if those who didn't know. And then you have the kick returns are pretty solid. Like, you're mm-hmm. seeing some ones that it's maybe not breaking, but they've popped a few decent chunks out of it. Mm-hmm. Now there is a little bit of kick return. Like, they haven't been awful. They've been actually really solid, but there's been a couple times where you've seen them over pursue on a kickoff.
Yeah,
coverage where they'll over pursue it a little bit, and there's like a lane in the back, or the guy will kind of sneak through for a couple extra yards. But all in all, it's been really solid. Of course, field goal kicking, we you touched upon. The only other piece within the special teams that I do wonder about slightly with him, and this is, it's very tic tac. I get it, but what you're not seeing, or what you're seeing, I guess, is sometimes there's a question of bringing it out or receiving it. And you know, we've seen times where CD looks like he's wide open and he's calling for a safe, a downed, right? Like, hey, yeah. I'm waving the hand. I'm not returning this. But then you're also seeing times where you're like, oh, I must've missed the arm wave. And then he catches it with a guy in 2 yards on him. And you're like, what are you doing? You know, you're mm-hmm. like, yeah. Why? And so it's very tic-tac, but there is, I don't know if that's a CD thing or if that's a Bones thing, but there's a little something there that there's been a couple of times where I'm like, ooh, this could be bad. Like, mm-hmm. this could turn bad. Like, and you're watching it in real time going, ooh, oh, okay, it worked out. Like, you're good. But there's been a couple of those where you're like, ooh, why are you returning this, or why are you not returning this?
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is, but just a little, but I would say, yeah, it's probably a push for me on that one. And that was the one I was really curious on, because they're playing so well, but then you have the field goal kicking and you see these little moments that pop up. You're like, you hold your breath for a half second. You're like, oh no, it worked out. We're fine.
Yeah.
But you see it watching it. You're like, ooh, that, okay, we're good. So I don't know. I would probably push it, but that isn't to say that they haven't been playing well anyway. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that they can go up from here. Yeah. Like, I, you know, to your point, maybe if they got a field goal block and a punt return, but I don't know if they can go up any further than what they're currently playing.
Yeah.
So just my thing. But, you know, I ask all these stock up, stock downs. So you only had one real stock down and a push, right? Yeah. And so that shows you kind of like where confidence in this team is. So now you're playing Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing a team that is desperate. And I hate to call them desperate, because they're going to make the playoffs and, you know, most likely.
They've already locked up a playoff spot.
Yeah. Okay.
They've got a wild card spot. They don't have a division. They're still playing for their division. Yeah.
And that's why, because they're mm-hmm. playing for their division. They're desperate. This is the game they have to win.
Yes.
In order to keep that dream alive.
Yes.
Right. Not just because you don't want to rely on the Rams. You don't want to rely that they're going to lose a game. You don't want to rely on the 49ers. You don't want to rely on the Seahawks. You mm-hmm. want to rely on you.
Yep.
And that's where they're at. And so it's going to be an interesting game. I think Dallas will have more horses at the end of it. I just, with all the injuries and the way Kyler's been playing lately, and some of the throws he's been making, you're like, what are you doing, bro? you know, I'm not going to go into what my take is on Kyler. Like, I think he has some ups and downs and positives and negatives, but there's been a couple throws lately where if he can't get out and run, you're kind of seeing like, bro, you shouldn't have made that throw.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it'll be one of those games where if the defense can keep Kyler contained and force him to try to beat over the top or to really, because Kyler will try to make a play. Mm-hmm. That's where he gets himself in trouble is he doesn't always take what the defense gives him. He will see it and be like, I'm going to try to force this.
Yeah.
Because I think I can. And then he's gotten himself into trouble. Or he'll take off and run and he'll get hit for 1 or 2 yard gain. And then you look up and, you know, Edmonds is standing wide open at the 10, you know, 10 yards away, just standing there looking around like, bro.
Yeah.
I shook my dude about 20 yards ago. Like, what are we doing here? You know, so I think it'll be one of those games. So what are you going to watch for in this game specifically? For me, it's going to be how they contain Kyler. Because I think the offense will be able to do it. Look, Arizona is a pretty solid defense, all in all. It's not world beating, but it's a solid defense.
Yeah.
I don't know what their rank is, but I know it's a pretty solid defense.
Yeah, they do. It's been worse lately, especially against the run. They have not played the run very well lately. They have given up the most explosive run plays in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You look last week against the Colts, the very first play of the game, 40-yard run by Jonathan Taylor. Like they give up explosive runs all the time. So it might be a game for Tony Pollard to hit some explosive runs, to be honest with you.
Like they were really good early in the season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they were really good
with JJ Watt. We were really good with JJ Watt, you know.
But I will say they're probably still a top 10 defense.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I can get
even
it
though, like, I would say they're borderline top 10 defense, which is still kind of, but to your point, they're failing to stop the run. It's 4.5 yards per carry, right? The worst yards after contact per carry in the NFL. Like, that is like terrible. Like, they, you know, you don't want that. You don't want contact and then more yards.
Which Zeke Zeke and Pollard are really good at.
Zeke is better than Pollard. I agree. But they're both pretty good at it. They're keeping, you know, they kept Zaven Collins on the bench. Like, he's going to play this game. So that might help some of that. You know, so I don't know. You know, is this like elite defense? No, but this is a playoff defense. It's a playoff caliber defense.
Yeah, so
I'm going to really watch, even though I say all that, I think the offense has enough horses, and especially with the way the Cardinals defense have played with the players that are out, taking that into consideration, I think the horses will be there. It's going to be, can they, and we talked about Kyle, Cowboys have had some issues stopping mobile quarterbacks.
Yes, they have.
That's been one of their little bit of a, I don't want to say Achilles heel, but it's killed them a couple times where you're at third and long, you know, third and eight, and you just give a quarterback draw up for 12 yards. And you're like, why did that just happen? And nobody was around him. Like, no one was there. And so, you know, you have a quarterback now that is that kind of guy. You know, that I think for me will be what I will probably key on. And if they can do it, I think they'll walk out with the win. But
yeah, I agree with you. I think that's a big thing. I talk listening to Skywalker Steele and Brian Broaddus this week, and they were talking about that. And, you know, they were talking about, you know, Brian Broaddus does not believe that the Cowboys are going to use a spy on Kyler Murray this week. He just thinks they're going to play their defense and try to corral him. But they made a good point is that Kyler, because he believes, like you were talking about, because he believes he has the ability to make those extra plays and make those extended plays, he sometimes gets the big, like Russell Wilson gets those big giant sacks, those 15 to 20 yard sacks, because he's trying to make that play. He thinks his ability can get him, he can escape. So I think it's going to be really important for Micah Parsons this week with his closing speed on, hey, I'm free, I'm charging the quarterback now. That's going to be really important. He's going to need to use every bit of that this week against Kyler Murray. I think a key to this game is actually going to be J. Ron Kearse. since Ertz has come over from Philadelphia, he has become Kyler Murray's number one safety blanket. Whenever he is in trouble, he is looking for Ertz, and he's throwing it to Ertz in those situations. So I think just like he shut him down week three earlier this year when he was an Eagle, Jaron Curse is going to have an assignment against Ertz, because Ertz is playing a lot better since he came to Arizona than he was playing in Philadelphia. So I think that's going to be a big key, because that's where Kyler looks first when he gets in trouble.
Yeah. And look, you know, Kyler Murray currently, you know, he has 25 sacks on the year, right? He had 27 last year. 2019, he had 48 sacks he gave up. You know, this year he's at 219 yards, to your point, right? So he's getting, the sack rate on him is almost 6%. Mm-hmm. It's like, to your thing, he will take it, right? Now, on the flip side, the old school, I'll go to it, the old rating system, not QBR, but actual rating. He's actually been pretty solid this year, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's 100.5. His yards a game is up to 273. Now, some of that's because they've been trailing. I get that. You know, his QBR is down, though. It's at 55.3. Last year, he was at 61.9, but his completion percentage is up this year. 10 interceptions to 21 TDs, you know, so he has a 5% TD percentage, a 2.5% interception percentage. So he will give up some things. Mm-hmm. To your point, he will give up some things.
Yep.
What I don't know is if he will be able to continue, if his run will be able to be the answer.
Yeah.
Right, because I think our coverage on the outside will be able to hold it. Look,
yes,
they, you know, they lost 23-30 against the Rams. They lost 12-30 against Detroit, and then they lost 16-22 against Indianapolis. So they haven't played a quarterback combo like this since week 8 when they played Green Bay and lost 24-21. If mm-hmm. you look at that game, Kyler had 274 passing yards, but 2 interceptions, no TDs.
Yeah.
Right. The Rams, who have a really good defense, he threw for 383. Guess what? 0 TDs, 2 interceptions. You know, when he's asked to put it on his shoulders outside of his legs,
mm-hmm.
he can throw, but the more he throws, the more you see him make mistakes.
Yeah.
Right. He's not one of those rhythm, like he's not one of those passers that you're like, okay, the more I'm making completions, the more yards I'm getting, the better I'm getting. It's every throw is a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Look back at week 2. He threw for 400 yards against Minnesota, 3 TDs. Right. He had 36 attempts, but threw 2 interceptions.
Yeah.
And they won the game by 1 point. These last three weeks, he has had attempts of 49, 41, 43. He has 3 interceptions, 2 touchdowns in that time span,
mm-hmm.
passing, right? He has exactly 0 rushing TDs. 0. Yeah. So you can beat him. Like, this is an absolute possible thing. That is the key. If you can force him to make that mistake, to have to throw, to be that guy, that's where you can beat Kyler Murray. So I agree. I think that's.
Yeah. And we all know his height. He's not a very tall guy. He's not a very big guy. So we have very big, very strong, very fast linemen. And also Michael Parsons. Just, I think getting in his face and disrupting his line of sight, I mean, just like any quarterback, that's how you beat them. You touch them up, get in their face, disrupt their line of sight, not let them see the path they want to the wide receiver. And you're going to force them to make some errant throws. And with this defense, you make an errant throw, it might be going the other way.
Right. Well, and look, there's something else I haven't talked about this season, and I really would like to just quickly bring it up.
Yeah.
This season, you are seeing more attempts and batted balls at attempted batted balls and batted balls than we have seen in a decade here.
Mm-hmm.
And to your point with his height issues, you've seen now Randy and Tank both make these incredible, not knockdowns. Not a batted pass. Like legit on the defensive line, jump up and be like, give me that. I'm taking it.
Like and Carlos Watkins.
And Carlos Watkins. Like you're seeing these things happen. So this is that same style of game. So moving forward, you said Kearse is one of your key players on defense.
Yep.
Are you keeping that as your defensive player of the game that you're going to look for? If so, then who's your offense?
See, I don't know if Kearse, it's hard to be like Kearse is going to be the defensive player of the game because I don't think he's going to make the plays like these splash plays or anything like that. But I think he's going to be a key. Like he has to have a good, I think he has to have a good game to keep Ertz down. So if he like just covers Kearse and I mean, just covers Ertz and Ertz doesn't have a good game. I mean, he might not like get the, oh, this guy was a defensive player of the game, but he had a really good game and that was a really important. So that's what I'm kind of looking at Kearse for on the offensive side of the ball. I'm going to look for, let me go Michael Gallup. And the reason I'm going to go Michael Gallup is because it's Marco Wilson, their number two cornerback, very good cornerback, is out. He won't be playing. And from the word that I heard is they're having to either look for somebody to sign or bring up some practice squad guys to kind of fill in for the meantime because he got hurt last week with the shoulder injury. So that's their number two corner. Now, I don't think they're going to – move anybody in this. They're going to move their other guys into the slot to help cover CeeDee Lamb. So I think Gallup is going to be faced with somebody that he could easily take advantage of. We saw Dallas take a few shots downfield. Didn't really work out last week. I think that's something they want to implement and get back to. So I think this is the game where we're going to see a couple shots downfield, and then also in the red zone. We did it last week as well. Didn't work out though, but going up the fade to Gallup in the end zone, just, you know, he's so talented with going up and getting it and getting his feet down and bounce. So give me Gallup on the offensive side of the ball.
Those are good. I'm actually going to go with, this is a Zeke game. You know, I think on offense, this is a Zeke game. I'm not saying they want to play vanilla, but I think they're going to try to keep Kyler off the field and get in his head a little bit. Because that's what you do with him. I think this is one of those games where you could see Zeke, maybe Pollard, kind of take some control at points in the game that you're like, okay, you know, they're catching passes out of the backfield. They're breaking some decent runs up the middle. They're softening that defense for those shots for Gallup. And I think that might be this game, just looking at the way Arizona's built. And to your point, the weakness on the outside, potentially, I think, you know, hey, they're giving up the run. If they're going to sell out, it's going to leave it to Gallup. I think the running game is going to be really important this week. On the defensive side, I'm so conflicted here, right? Because I want to say Parsons. I want to say, because you're looking at Kyler Murray, I want to say Parsons is the guy, right? But what we have seen with them is if they hold Parsons back to do things like this, which they have in a couple of games, they have said, okay, you're not going to pass rush as much here. We're going to pull you into more of a traditional off the ball role. He's made some plays, but those like wow moments really weren't there, right? We've had about three games of that where you're like, he was good, but where were the sacks? Where were the batted pass, where were some of these other things that, you know, we're missing? And it's because they changed his role. So I want to say it, and they're saying they're not going to spy, but I have a feeling like they may get there. So I want to say Parsons just because like I can see it happening, but I'm going to actually go and kind of conversely like change this. I think what you're actually going to see is this could be a Tank game. Okay. And the only reason I'm going there is because I believe if they decide to pull Parsons back, I think this is the, especially with the injuries in Arizona right now on the offensive tackle, I think Tank has the ability to set that edge, which he does. Yep. And it's a side that Kyler loves to roll to. I think that you have the he has the ability to get pass rush and get in the face really well of Kyler. Mm-hmm. And look, I'm not going to say he's going to have a three sack game. I'm not going to say he's going to have another interception. I'm saying his importance to this defense, this game, he's going to be that guy.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see that. I could definitely see Tank giving a.
But I really want to say Parsons. I worry about running quarterbacks because you almost want to have a spy. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, you're going to take Parsons out of a role potentially, which is probably why they're saying they're not going to do it. But I just worry that they may have to fall into it. And look, not this isn't a knock on Parsons. It's more of a knock on the way they're going to try to use him potentially that I have the issue with, not on him specifically. Yeah. So clarity for anybody thinking I'm hating. Look, it's really just because I think of the scheme and the adjustments they're going to have to make. They're going to have to potentially pull back on how much he goes, you know, forward versus in space, which fine, agreed. He's great in space. I just, that's a potential possibility, which limits his impact, which mm-hmm. we've seen a couple of times.
Yeah. Whenever you have a spy, whenever your responsibility is one player, it's going to limit your impact. It just is.
Yeah. And so again, not a knock on Parsons. It's just he, of all the guys on this team, because Cox is out at linebacker, he's the guy who you would spy with mm-hmm. essentially. Right. So he has the speed, he has the strength, he has the agility to keep up with Kyler. Who else? I'm not going to have LVE spy him. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to have Neil spy him. Maybe I can get pull Wilson down or put Hooker down if I absolutely needed to and say, hey, guess what, Wilson, you're going to play safety, or guess what, you know, whatever, you're going to go back and play the safety role for a couple snaps.
Okay.
That's a possibility, right? Like, you can adjust that, but really, who's the one guy that everybody would say automatically you're the spy? Parsons. So that's just my quick take. All right. So we've talked about it. We got another game coming up. We got one more week. Let's quickly touch on draft stuff because we do that every week. Again, quarterbacks, lackluster, you know. Mm-hmm. And look, there are teams right now with two top 10 picks that absolutely can potentially grab a quarterback early, and they probably will. I don't know if any of these guys are that. And look, there's a fear. And when we grade these quarterbacks, I want you guys to understand this. There is a fear among people who look and scout and really get into the tape. If you have one good year, if you had two or three really bad years, and then you come up with one good year, there are still some concerns with that player.
Yeah.
Because you look at it and go, well, what was it? Competition? Was it your receivers became so much better? You know, we saw it with like, look at Alabama, right? Like, mm-hmm. their receivers were so dang good that, you know, Mac Jones' limitations, which he has them, were completely covered, right?
Yeah.
Like, some of these guys, this happens with, right? We saw it with Tua. Look at Tua, whatever, right? Tongo Vailoa. Thank you. I can never say his damn last name. But you saw it with Tua, right? So Tua is in this Alabama system, and everybody's like, holy crap, look at this year he's having. It's off the wall, off the chain. And then you go back and look at the wide receivers, you're like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
I get it, you know, and now you're seeing him in Miami and you're like, okay, they're potentially thinking of kicking him to the curb. I get it now. Right. So when we look at these quarterbacks, please understand we're, you know, it isn't just this season. You mm-hmm. have to go back and look at the body of work and say, hey, maybe this guy really did develop the game finally caught up to him, or he finally caught up to the game. And maybe he had that great year, but then maybe you go back and say, you know what? His mechanics are the same. His footwork is the same. His pocket presence is the same. His decision-making is the same. But what you're seeing is fantastic catches by the wide receivers. The scheme had changed. The offensive line got better, whatever it might be. So still no huge quarterback. But what we are seeing is a what we thought was a little bit of separation starting to kind of make it for – wide receivers,
mm-hmm.
just a little bit. I don't know though if there's been like a real like aha moment. Like there hasn't been a guy that we've looked at in these bowl games and went, yeah, that's the dude. Have you seen, I mean, who would you say has been that for in some of the bowl games?
I mean, it's kind of hard, you know. Yeah, you really haven't had guys who have jumped out at you that are in the draft this year. You know, you have some underclassmen that came out and performed, like Dante Thornton last night against Oklahoma, you know, for Oregon, freshman, you know, looked really good. But, you know, he's not coming out, you know, so that doesn't help us, you know. Nobody from Oklahoma really jumped off the page to me. I mean, Mims eligible? Is Mims going to come out? We had Mims, you know, he had an okay game, wasn't spectacular or anything like that. So you're right. Like, there's nobody who, who's that? I don't remember his name. Somebody, it blanked on me. He had a decent bowl game, and I can't remember his name now.
There's been a couple of like showouts, right? Like there has been a couple of them where you're like, all right, you know, let me go and watch this guy a little bit. But like, you're still not seeing in a lot of the bowl in years past, we would look at these bowl games and say, man, how did we miss that guy?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? Like, how many times has that happened where you're like, how did I miss that guy?
Oh, it was, now I don't know much about him because I didn't watch Maryland a lot, but it was, what is his name? It's, I'm looking up. It's Daryl Jones. He's a senior out of Maryland. I don't know him that well. His stats on the season aren't great. But I mean, he had a really good bowl game. 111 yards, 2 TDs. So it's like, okay, maybe, you know, maybe I got to go back and look at him. Maybe he's a mid round guy that I missed, you know, that maybe I got to keep an eye on moving forward. You know, I like to do that in bowl games, kind of like see, okay, you know, who's these mid round guys that, you know, didn't have the best season, but they on the big stage, they came out and they had a really good game and they showed out. That's what I like to look at in these lower bowl games, really, is those mid-round guys who, you know, show up then. And he's one of them that I'm like, okay, maybe I got to go look at him again because he didn't have a good season at all. I went back and looked at his stats. Not great. But, you know, hey, he shows out on the big stage. Maybe there's something there where you can get him in the mid to late rounds, you know.
Yeah.
But that's all I've really been seeing. Nobody who I was high on beforehand. I mean, if you want to look at Jesse Matthews from San Diego State, San Diego State had a really good year. He had a fantastic bowl game, but it was San Diego State versus UTSA. I mean, so, you know, he had 175 yards, 2 touchdowns, you know, but he had a good year. He had a decent year, but he's not a guy that's going to go high. He's not, you know, that we're thinking about, you know, he's going to be a late round guy. So I'd like you said, there's not a guy who jumped out at you and was like, this is a highly rated guy. This is a guy that I think is going to go high. And he showed out.
Yeah. And what's interesting is some of the guys you have seen are freshmen. Like what was the Braden, the running back from Coastal Carolina?
He had a
really, really good game. But again, he's a freshman out of Coastal Carolina. Like, all right, maybe, you know, but he's a freshman. So Devin Tompkins had a decent one, wide receiver, Utah State. He had actually had a pretty solid game. The problem is he's 5'8".
Yeah.
Right. So he's going to be more of that mid-round shifty kind of, you know, guy. You know what I mean? Like, you're just like, all right. You did see some running backs have some games this in the bowl game so far, which is interesting. You know, but again, the running back is not seen as you know, it's not seen like it used to be. It just isn't. You know, but you look at the results of a lot of these games, and you're looking at, if you watch a lot of these games, nobody was, has been really been like, yeah, that's the dude.
Yeah.
You know, Tank Bigsby had 164 yards for Auburn, right? You're like, all right. Or Nathaniel Dell had 10 receptions for 150 yards against Auburn, right? And you're like, all right, well, guess what? Bigsby is staying at Auburn. Mm-hmm. He's not coming out, right? Mm-hmm. So, okay. So what does that mean? Does that mean, is this going to be just a bad draft? I don't know.
I honestly, like, I think it's going to be a bad offensive draft. I do. Right now, from where,
except for offensive line. We have
Do have offensive line. But, you know, for a lot of these teams, there's some teams that are bragging about multiple first round picks. And hey, it's always good to have multiple first round picks. When you can have two or three first round picks, that's good. This isn't the draft you really wanted to have multiple first round picks in.
Right. Right.
You know,
I don't know. And look, Tennessee Purdue is playing right now. It's a 45-45 game. Right. But then you're like, man, all right. Let's see, you know, O'Connell, Purdue quarterback, O'Connell has 527 yards and five TDs, but then you're like, it's Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just don't know this draft, man. This is one of the few ones I'm really struggling to look at and be like, that's the dude. Now, look, there's some pass rushers. Like, there's some defensive players.
Look at this game. This Purdue game. I just looked at it right now. So, Brock Thompson, wide receiver for Purdue, yes, mm-hmm. in the game, he has 7 catches for 217 yards and 2 touchdowns. Pretty impressive, right? His stats on the season. You want to know what his stats on the season are? 240 yards and 2 touchdowns. Like, so he's almost matched his production in this game for the year.
Right. And then you have to wonder, like, and look, something else let's talk about real quick. And before we lock, like, that's another piece to this, like what we're seeing in this bowl season is there are guys who are stepping away from these games. And it's, and I don't want to say it's watering down these games, mm-hmm. but there is, if you're not playing the best guys, it's almost like, hey, this is a futures game.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of where we're sitting.
I am interested in
bowl games.
I am interested in the game going on right now with Pitt versus Michigan State. There's some good people in there. I mean, obviously we've talked about, Pickett's not playing in the game. So that's, you know, he opted out not to play, but the wide receiver, there we go. Jaden Reed, he had a really good season. He had over 900 yards, 8 touchdowns. He has a touchdown in the game already. It's in the first quarter. So Jaden Reed, maybe that's a guy we can look at and say, okay, how is he going to perform against Pittsburgh? Who's a pretty decent team, you know, how is he going to play? So you got to look at it, but like you said, there's a lot of guy like, It's a weird bowl season now because there's a lot of players who are declaring for the draft and saying, hey, I'm not playing in my bowl anymore because my bowl doesn't matter. My bowl yep. means nothing. So you're going to get a lot of this stuff like Pickett not playing today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because why would Pickett play in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl?
Because it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
And we'll see more of this over the years. And as look, it was one of the knocks I had on Parsons was sitting out a whole year. Like, yeah. You know, more times than not, a lot of guys that sit out, not necessarily the bowl game, but sit out for extended periods, like you see them and they're a step behind or they, you know, because they haven't been playing the game. But sitting out your bowl game, like I totally get now. I mean, mm-hmm. look at Jalen, yeah. Look at Jalen Smith, mm-hmm. right? Jalen, before he got injured, looked like Micah Parsons, right? Like before he was injured at Notre Dame, you put on tape of Jalen Smith and you're like, oh my God, this guy is amazing. And then we saw he got injured, and he got a serious injury. And look, again, we all rail on Jalen Smith, but fairly to him, he had a crushing injury that limited his movement. Yeah. And he just was never the same guy. It's so weird looking at these drafts now, because you're going back and looking and hoping that guys who are sitting out and doing other things, that you hope they evolve the way you think they showed they are evolving, right? Like, there's a window now that there's no games. There's a window for them that you're like, this is the last tape I have on them, and therefore I'm going to bank that they would have done the same in the bowl game or the last two games of the year or whatever that looks like against, you know, their big rival. Would they have performed the same? I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. You know, so it's just interesting looking at this draft. I think the Cowboys are heading to this draft actually in a fairly solid position, because we've said it several times. Positions like offensive tackle, offensive line, linebacker, even some wide receiver, like safety. There's outside of really wide receiver in the middle rounds, this is a pretty solid draft for the Cowboys' needs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, the things that we need are there. If we needed this year, let's say, a defensive tackle, this may not be fully the year. There's some solid players, don't get me wrong, but there's not that guy that you're like, yes.
Yeah.
That's the dude, right? Like, that's the guy I need right here, right now. You know, so if we're looking at this whole thing, you know, where do you think the Cowboys, like, looking at the draft now, where do you think the Cowboys are going to keep or go light at a position? So looking at the draft, knowing who they have free agency, is there a position that you're like, they need it, this is a bad draft, they're going to keep X player? Or do you see a position where they're like, we can throw this one and say, we can lose this guy and it's okay because this draft is deep?
Tight end.
Okay. Yeah.
They're going to probably lose Dalton Schultz. I don't think they paid Jarwin a good size contract, not a huge contract, but a good size contract. I don't know if they're going to pay two tight ends that kind of money, because I think that's kind of money will be what it takes to keep Schultz. So I think they're going to do that. And then this draft is kind of deep, and look for a guy who can do it both. Look for a guy who can catch the ball and who can block.
So if you look at the tight end class, you say that, right? It's deep. It's deep to a point.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you got Likely out of Coastal Carolina, who will probably go in the second round somewhere. You have Windermere, really good, probably second round somewhere. You have, let's see, I'm trying to make sure I didn't miss somebody. Jake Ferguson will probably go in the first three rounds. Trey McBride will probably go in the first three or four rounds. You have, who am I missing? Sam Laporta out of Iowa. You have Jeremy Ruckert out of Ohio State, who is more of a traditional style tight end. You know, he's not that game breaker, but he's that I can get up the seam. He's like Dalton Schultz, essentially, with a better blocking Dalton Schultz. You have that kid. I think you have that kid out of Washington that Cam's always all over.
Yeah, what's his name? Hold on.
You know, you have some lines, but right around like the 120-ish area, 130, I'm guessing, somewhere in there, it gets real thin.
Yeah, Otten.
Who is Otten? Yeah, you have Otten in there. Sorry, Cam, Otten. I'll throw his name out there because I know you're listening. You know, but you have some players that will go in the first three rounds. But once you get about that 120-ish mark, somewhere in the middle of round four, it drops.
Yeah.
Right? It starts dropping, and you're like, ooh, Charlie Kohler, James Mitchell. You know, you're like, maybe not. So, I don't know. It'll be tight end, I can see, but man, if you don't get one in that first like three rounds ish or so, you're hoping that Jarwin gets healthy and comes back the way you think Jarwin will come back. I agree, though. I think they need an all-around guy, a guy who can block, because we've seen these guys try to block. It ain't it.
And that includes McKeon.
Yep. That includes all those guys. This ain't it. So anyway, I just, you know, we'll see how it plays. You got a couple of weeks left. Before we roll, how was your holiday? Did you have a good one?
Yeah, great. Fantastic holidays. With spending with the family. Of course, the Cowboys, huge win over the Red. I'm really bad today. The football team over there in Washington. Yeah,
the red team out of Washington.
Jeez, yeah. over the football team. Yeah, it was fantastic holidays. How about yours?
Good. Yeah, I had so my wife and I was our first one. All the kids weren't there in the morning, which was different for us. You know, my youngest just turned 21, so you know, all my kids are grown. They all came over later in the afternoon. We did a big Christmas, and then I'm actually up here in Missouri until tomorrow morning, visiting my oldest and my youngest living up here. So it was really good. I'll be home in time for some New Year's debauchery at my house. So
there you go.
Yeah, it'll be fun. And of course, we got New Year's. So happy New Year's to you if I don't talk to you.
Yeah, definitely. Happy New Year's and happy New Year's to everybody out there. Stay safe. Do not. I know we're all, you know, we're all going to have a few drinks, you know, have a good time. I encourage you, you know, have fun. Be responsible with it.
And look, 100%. Guys,
call that Uber.
I'm traveling first thing in the morning out of Columbia, Missouri is where I'm at. I am driving back to Dallas to where I live, and there are some winter warnings already starting to happen. Snow, 1 to 3 inches, sleet, hail, freezing rain. I looked at the maps. That is across the Midwest and even parts of the West. So I want to say be careful out there for all of you guys. Look at the weather. Get that Uber. Find a place. If the weather gets bad, don't try to risk it. Before we go, we forgot to do it. Before we do it, two things. Give me your final score against Arizona, which we forgot to do.
Oh, yeah.
And then tell us where we can find your work.
Final score. I honestly don't think it's going to be close. And I'm going to go 34-21 Cowboys. I think this defense is too good right now. So 34-21. And then my work, you can always find me here on the 4D podcast with, Dan, and then you can find my written work, on the Starboys Network, starboysnetwork.com. You can also find, the link to this podcast, on starboysnetwork.com as well. It'll allow you to click on, it has all the platforms listed wherever you get your listening, your preferred listening platform. You can just go to starboysnetwork.com, click on the 4D podcast link, and then you can click on whatever platform you use. It'll take you straight to this podcast as well. So
awesome. All right. So for me, I think it'll be a little closer, not much. I'm thinking somewhere around like 31-20. I think Kyler does get a couple runs off on us and gets that 20 mark, but it probably won't look as close as the score will look at the end, you know, within 10, 11 points. So I think the Cowboys will walk away with it, especially just watching the way this Cardinals team has melted over the last three games against some really bad competition. So it's not, you can't even say they're playing really great competition. You're like, really, guys?
Yeah.
So I just think that's what's going to happen. Of course, you can find me at SportDFW, which is also on the Fansided Network. You can find my work over there. You can find me right here, of course, on Podcast 4D. And then, of course, you can always find me on the old Twitter, Dan_Rupert, R-U-P-P-E-R-T. I'm always down for a good discussion, debate. But the second we all get stupid is the second I stop conversing. So bring it on, bring the hate, bring the love, whatever, let's talk. Happy New Year to everybody, and hopefully you guys have a really good 2022, a start to a 2022. Set some goals for yourself, and do your best to achieve them.
Absolutely. and hopefully we start off 2022 a couple days later. We get a nice win and a good Packers loss, give us that number one seed.
Yeah, so we can go in and I like to say raffle stomp, just raffle stomp through Philadelphia and keep that number one seed. Absolutely. And get the bye week and the home games throughout, and life will be good, but we will see. And yeah, thank you.
Have a good one.
Deuces. Catch you guys on the flip.